if you've ever had to come up and speak, this will make it a little extra funny. As I walked in this morning, I don't know, maybe I got a little too much sleep last night. I can't honestly say that's true, but pastor walked over and shook my hand. I go, am I supposed to speak this morning? He's like, I just couldn't help it. Just some ornery hit me just right then. I don't know, sometimes it just hits me and it just went. Anyway, pray for me. Anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. We are so grateful, we really are, that we were even able to be in this place. Lord, we don't take for granted that opportunity because there are lots of places in this earth that they would love to have the freedom to be able just to come together. So, Father, we don't take this for granted. We thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for your words that you have for us this morning. I pray, Father, that you will open up our hearts and our minds and give us what you need. For Lord, I know you have just like a big spoon getting ready to feed us this morning, and so we want to open our hearts and our minds and receive, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. I know that, thank you for opening it too. I have weak wrists. I was going to say, come open it.
I remember.
I like to have a title for my messages. And last night, as I was finishing this up and putting a bow on it last night, I was walking through the house and just asking the Lord, you know, where, help me out here. Let's finish this up. And I was just, you know, putting it in my heart and Lord, where do you want to go with it? And I didn't really have a title, and it's like, okay, Lord, you know, kind of help me out here. Not that I have to have a title for everything, but it's, you know, it's one of those things when you kind of get used to doing something. And finally, the Lord did give me something, and it was a question. And the question is, who sent Joseph to the pit? Who sent Joseph to the pit? I have a beautiful picture. It's about like this, and I've had it since the 80s. And it's a picture, and it's an absolutely gorgeous picture of Jesus, and he's got his hand out like this, and his eyes are just, it's just like, I just love looking at him. And he just is looking at me, but he also has his other hand, and he has it kind of reaching back, and then there's a woman sitting back there, and you just know, you don't have to even wonder, you just know it's the woman at the well. And she's, and this look on her face is like, really, me? And as I was sitting there last night and as I was putting this together, and I don't often just sit and look at that picture, but for whatever reason, I was just sitting there and just kind of meditating and just praying. And I looked up at that picture, and it was like it just jumped out at me. And the Lord said, yes, you. It's like, oh, it touched my heart so much. And so this morning, little subtitle, yes, you. Yes, us. Okay. As I was pulling this all together, I like to share about different things in the Old Testament to kind of bring things out of the New Testament. And as I was kind of pulling together where he wanted me to go, he took me to Joseph. Other than Jesus, one of my very favorite people in the Bible. I love the story of Joseph. And I'm just going to give you a brief summary of Joseph, and then we'll move on. And this is just very brief, because if you look in the Bible, it's like quite a few chapters. It's one of the ones other than Jesus. Starts like at 37 and goes like to 47, 48, somewhere in there, before Joseph is actually done with Joseph. It's a lot of Genesis. But Joseph was a young man, and I think of him as a teenager. And a lot of teenagers are fairly cocky. You know what I mean? We're... You know, they just are young men filling their vinegar, just excited with life. And Joseph was, he loved his daddy with all his heart, and his mom. He loved the Lord with all his heart. And the Lord gave him some dreams because the Lord loved him too. But in his youth, he didn't have a lot of wisdom. And when you don't have a lot of wisdom, sometimes your mouth kind of goes before your head should go. And he began to share some of these things with his brothers. God did give him some things and probably want him to set him aside until such a time was necessary, but he kind of threw it into his brother's face. He was 11th of 12 kids, and he was younger. He had a lot of older brothers, all had the same daddy. And if you know much about the history and the lineage and all of the traditions, pre-Jesus especially, the guys had it all. They got the namesake, they got the money, they got the land. We got to be there as girls, but they were it. And so he was like 11th of 12, but God was bringing him above even the number one, which was a big deal. And so he was telling his brothers, this is what's going to happen. You are going to bow down before me. Now, 11th kid, little guy, you know, they were like these snotty-nosed little kid, and they begin to hate him. And so as you go through and see his life, you recognize that anger and hate begin to build up into them. And that was just pure enemy, primarily because God had a plan and the enemy did too. And the enemy's plan was to destroy Joseph, to destroy the plan that God had. And so to make a long story short and condense it, the guys just finally couldn't take it. And they took their brother and they threw him into a pit. And now pit, you know, could be full of snakes. It could have some water and sometimes did, sometimes didn't. But they threw him into this pit, and meaning that he was not coming back out. But they were, you know, guys enough to where it's like, you know what, let's make some money off of this. Why just throw him in there and we don't make anything off of this? And so they pulled him out and sold him. They should have just, in the eyes of the people in that day, he probably would have rather just died. Here he was, a son of a wealthy person. He, in God's eyes and his, what he felt God had for him, he was going to be above everybody. But now all of a sudden he had no wealth. He had no name. He was now being sold into slavery, which meant he had no name. That meant he would be a slave, his wife, whoever he would marry, would be a slave, his kids would always be a slave. He now changed his status in life. And here he had this promise, but now the promise was ripped away. In the eyes of the world, he had no promise anymore. And not only that, his dad thought he was dead, so he knew his dad would not come and save him. If his dad thought he was alive, his dad would have gone and got him. But he knew his dad would know. He think he was dead. He had no hope except the promise. If he would continue to believe the promise. Now, I think he's still a kid. And it's tough for a kid to hold on, even as an adult in a situation like that. It's hard to hold on to promises sometimes that God gives us. But God gave him a promise, and somehow, some way, somehow, this young man, as he began to grow as a slave, held on to the promise of God. And I believe with all my heart, God didn't just give him, now this is just gospel according to Sandy, but I just don't believe that God gave him that one dream and let him go. God continued to build him up in his faith and continued to strengthen him, continued to help him mature, because as time went on, he held on to something that made him feel better than the rest of the slaves around him, and he acted like it. I'm a king's kid, and you know what? I am not a slave in his heart, and I can do things, and I'll help you build your place up. I'll help you be what you need to be. I have something inside of me. Now, I'm sure he's not going around telling people this. Hopefully he's learned his lesson. But he had this in his heart. And because he had this in his heart, he began to act not like a slave. He began to act like the person God had made him to be. And because of that, people took notice of him. And Potiphar, who purchased him, he became the slave of Potiphar. Potiphar owned him. And he treated Potiphar as though Potiphar were his family. And he began to act like, I will take care of yours as though it were my father's. Because it wouldn't have been even his at that point. It would have been his father's. And so he treated Potiphar that way. And Potiphar recognized inside of this young man something great. And enough so that he made this slave a leader in his household. And over a period of years, as he grew, Over a period of years, he grew in stature and he grew in favor with Potiphar. But he also grew handsome. And Potiphar's wife, as many of you know, could not stand the fact this young man was in the house without being a part of his life. But he had a promise from God. And that promise was to stay pure, to keep his eye focused on God and the promise, to keep walking a straight line and not look to the left or to the right. And as a young man, a slave, and probably not being able to be, I mean, this is just me, but probably not being able to be with other women, he was himself, in my mind, not having been with a woman, was not going to be with his, almost in his mind, dad's wife, the leader's wife. And so she became angry, and she called rape, and he ended up, after 10 years of time again, building himself up in a prison, in another pit. If you know anything about jails, I have been around jails. My husband is a guard, okay, a corrections officer. That is luxury. And I know for those maybe who have friends or family or whatever have been there, it's not much fun. But let me tell you, this is not that. I've been to the Philippines and seen the prisons there, pit. I mean, if you want to eat, your friends or family bring you food. You go down into Mexico, scary place. The Tijuana jail, they made songs about that. I mean, it's a bad place. But that was even good compared to where Joseph went. They made them like caves or pits where hardly even any light, any warmth, only enough food to keep them alive because they were slaves. And that was a part of their punishment, just enough to keep them alive, just enough. But even here, Joseph, even in this new pit, Joseph kept his eye on his father, kept his eye on the promise, kept his eye on the end of where God had told him he was going to go. Any normal person would go, really? I mean, I was in a pit once, I lost my family, you know, and I built myself up, and now I'm in a worse pit, if that's even possible, and I'm going to be here for years, really? Seriously, God? But he turned that around. I mean, think how is this even a normal person? But God. But God. I heard a thing last night saying, keep your butt in the right place. Excuse me, but that's what she said. And it was like, yeah, put the butt in the right place. But God went ahead. And he kept his heart. Even though he was discouraged, he built him up in his most holy place. Even that was not a holy place in man's eyes, but wherever God is and you are, it's a holy place. So in this new pit, this awful place, he once again pulled himself back up and began the walk of the I am not a slave, I am not a servant, I am now not a prisoner. I am the child of the king. Yeah. And what can I do for you? Because that is not me. What you see is not me. What the enemy is trying to put me at, where the enemy is trying to put me, is not me. I know who I am. I am a child of the king. And I am going to walk like a child of the king. I am not looking at my circumstances. I'm not looking at the things that are around me. I am going to look at what God sees in me. And what God sees in me is I am not a slave. I am not in a pit. Now you can, I used to get really angry with people and I'd say, they'd be snotty and runny eyes and a fever. And I go, I am so sorry. Can I pray with you? You look ill. I'm not sick. And I'd want to slap them. Excuse me, but you are. And if you can't admit, at least admit you need prayer, how can God help you? Right. He wasn't stupid. He recognized he's there. Okay. He didn't act like I'm, you know what I'm saying? There's a balance.
Right.
And he was a balanced person. He knew where he was. But in his heart, he walked the walk of the child of the king. And because of that, he stood out. He wasn't the sniveling little whatever and back in the corner or wanting to fight or do all the terrible things. It's like, what can I do to help you make this place better? Wow. And he stood out because of that. Okay, so now he's in this prison. And because he's there and doing what he's doing, he begins, if there's ever a rank or a place in a prison like that, he actually found a way to build himself up and became helping the heads of the prison and to make it more profitable there. And after a few years of being there, in came a couple of king's men. And because he was where he was able to be around these people and be able to listen and interpret dreams. And I don't need to go through the whole story, but you know, God gave him the ability to interpret the dreams of both the baker and the wine guy. And because of that, one of them died and the other one survived. And he's told them truthfully. And he says, because I've done this, will you please remember me to the king or to Pharaoh? Help me get out of this place. 2 more years go by. Now, who would be discouraged? In the real world, we would go, you forgot me again, God. You gave me an opportunity, but what did you do with it, God? But he held on to the promise of God once again. I mean, we're talking years now. He's probably 14, 15, 16. There's probably that many years now has gone by. I mean, almost his life again. Finally, an opportunity comes, and he's taken out of the pit and brought into the kingdom and made second in command. The only one over him was the Pharaoh himself. God had a plan. Now, here we go. Joseph could have allowed the enemy to destroy him, but here's the key. Absolutely no man, no woman, no child, no devil in hell can pull you or take you or pull away the will of God for your life. No one holds your destiny but God. However, okay, parentheses, however, Joseph had a choice. Joseph could have spit in God's face. He could have walked away from the plan. Joseph could have held a grudge against his brothers. When his brothers came hungry and afraid for his family, 2 years into a 7-year famine, when they came before him, hoping against hope they could get something to take home to their family, Joseph could have said, take them and put them and leave them there. Now, obviously, we know the story. He took one of them and he did put him there, but it was more like I was teasing Pastor. it was more of a, yeah, but we're going to take care of you. It was more of a, let me show you what, you know, it was different. However, Joseph refused to do what the world would have done and to destroy his brothers. He held on to the promise of God. He could have. And in the world would say, you know, at least give him a few years of bad taste. But no, God had a plan. So who sent Joseph to the pit? His brothers or God? In Genesis 45, 4 and 8, I want to read this to you. It says, and Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me. Whoa, to the pit, to the prison. God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, there are still 5 years in which neither will be plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. But God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. And they bowed before him. Oh, man, it just makes my knees shaky standing up here reading that and knowing what God did and how he helped him. What does that mean to us? We go through pit circumstances. There are times when we are put in a pit and we think it's a family member who did it to us. You know, maybe we think it's our job that threw us away. Maybe we think it's a loved one or a friend we thought was a friend or a coworker. You know, God has his hand upon us. And sometimes, yes, they have something that they're doing. It's not a good thing. But here's the thing. God has a plan for your life. Maybe they sent you in a direction, but God says, I've got you. I've got you. Maybe they did something that really hurt you, harmed you, blistered your inside soul, man or woman. And you're going, God, why? And God said, it's okay. I got you. I've got you. I've got you. I have a plan for your life. I've got you. The key is don't look at others and what they have and wish you had it. Or, oh, I'm glad you don't have it. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I'm not them. Pray for them.
Yeah.
God gave me another thing last night and some other things kind of go along with this. And in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, if you want to, you can turn there with me. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, and that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, your faith, may be found to praise, honor, glory, and the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen, you love. And now you do not see him, yet believe, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's go back to 3. I'm going to now pull this apart. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, who has begotten again to us, what? A living hope. Through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He died for us so that we might have that hope. Not only that, that we might have an inheritance. Whoa, an inheritance, incorruptible, meaning it's not going to be eaten up by worms or fade away. Undefiled, our inheritance is pure, and it doesn't fade away. And what? It's reserved where? For me in heaven. I may not have it here, but I have an inheritance in heaven. And who is kept by the power of God. That word kept, in verse 5, the word kept, let me go back to here 1, because I want to read to you what my Bible says about that word kept. It says in here it's a Greek word, and it's a military term picturing a sentry standing guard as protection against the enemy. He says we are kept. It's, think of it again as I think of it as angels surrounding us with the fiery sword, guarding us and protecting us against our enemy. Sometimes things get through and hurt us, but they're there to protect us and to pick us up and dust us off and to help us. So we are kept by the power of God through what? Faith. For what? For salvation. Ready to be revealed at the last time when we breathe our last breath. In this you greatly rejoice, for in a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Yeah. I mean, if we breathe on this earth, we've had trials.
Right, right.
Grievous trials.
Right.
Painful trials. I mean, like go around the bush and puke and then come back and try and make it work trials.
Right.
And the Lord sees that. He recognizes that. He sees when we're down at our lowest, lowest point and recognizes he sees us where we are. He will pick us up, give us extra angels to surround us and guard us and help us. And he says that our genuineness of our faith, I think of Joseph, He had genuineness of faith. In the midst of his pit, he had genuineness of faith. Being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. What? Our faith. Tested by fire. Man, if I ever saw a person more tested by fire, it was Joseph. Right. Tested upon testing upon testing. I mean, bad testing, horrible testing. But he kept his heart and his mind towards God. Now, I'm not going to think that Joseph didn't have some down days.
Right.
He wasn't an angel put on earth. He was a man put on earth. And so there will be days that we go, God, what? Help me, please. But then we have to bring it back to the hope and the promise and keep our eyes upon him and not on the circumstance. Because if all we can see is our circumstance, then we will lose our promise. Our promise will be eaten up literally by worms. It'll be destroyed by the enemy. It will dissolve into nothing. But and the Lord knows we're human and that we're not perfect. I look at David. And thank God, I look at David and it gives me hope for myself. Who's perfect in this world? But he says, David, you're a man after my own heart. And David wasn't perfect. So David hurt. David was a complainer. He went to the Lord and says, I have these complaints, God. This one's after me and I'm lonely and I'm depressed and I'm all this. But he would come back and say, but God.
But
God. Yes, the Lord recognizes we're human, but at the same time, do not live in that mully grub. Pull yourself up by your most holy faith.
Yes.
And but God, I'm not going to look at my circumstance today. I'm going to look at the promise. And the promise is that I have a hope. I have a heavenly inheritance. This earth is not my home. This place is not the end result. Sometimes when Randy goes off to prison to work... We pray, because I hurry home sometimes. You see me leave, it's because I can give him one last hug. I see him for about 10 minutes in the morning and about 10 minutes at night. And then on Sundays, I get 10 minutes if I get home in time. Yesterday, after our women's reach, I told Ty, I says, I might just get to see him. And I raced home, and he was driving down the road, and I followed him for about a mile. I'm going, bye, baby, bye. And I turned around, came back. I just wanted one last hug. And I called him. He goes, I saw you, baby. I did. I saw you. I go, okay. Oh, mercy. I got on a bunny trail there. Anyway, we are tested. We are sometimes tested. But then it says, if we're tested, why? So it may be found to praise and honor and glory in us from him at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Christ, whom not having seen, we have not seen Jesus in the flesh. Some of us may have seen Jesus or heard his voice. One time in my life, I actually heard his voice. As God's my witness, he'd strike me dead if I was lying right now. I'd let him. But I've never seen him in the flesh. But I love him and I trust him. And I know he's real. And he says, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of my soul and yours. What he is saying here is that we have a heavenly inheritance. If we can go through these times, these hard times, these hit me in the face and let me just get up one more time,
right.
Times. And the Lord says, if you can keep up and remember who I am, meaning God, and remember who you are, my kid, I will give you a heavenly inheritance. 1 Peter 5 through 11, number 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with, the word is, humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are all experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let's go back and tear this apart. He tells us to be humble. He says, God says, resist the proud. Do not allow yourself to be puffed up. He doesn't like that. And that was one of the problems that little Joseph had. He got kicked because of it. But give grace to the humble. What's grace? Unmerited favor. I didn't deserve it, but he gave it to me anyway. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He's not going to leave you down. In due time, he will exalt you when you're ready for it, when you can wear the pants and not act too big for it. Casting all your care. Now, in my Bible, I have a word wealth, and it says that care is broken up into two words. It's broken up into mero and nous. Mero meaning to divide, and nous meaning the mind. Dividing the mind. The word denotes distractions, anxieties, burdens, and worries. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Keep my eyes. My mind can be divided. I need to keep my eyes on the Lord, but the anxieties make me look away. Keep my eyes and my mind on the Lord, but my fear makes me look away. I keep my eyes on the Lord, but my pain makes me look the other way. And the Lord says, do not do that. That's a divided mind. That's a divided care. Keep your care and cast it away and give it to him. And then you can look to him and it's all there. It's not here and here. It's all there. He's got your care here. So your care is in his hand and you're not divided. You know and trust him. He's got it. He's got it. It's not divided. It's like, hang on, let me go take care of this problem down here and I'll be back in a minute, God. No, he said, Sandy, you can't do all that yourself. Give it all to me. I will take care of it. I will take care of it. Then he says, be sober, meaning be self-controlled. He's not saying don't get drunk here. This is a self-controlled thing. Don't get out of control. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Keep your eyes. You guys, you hunters, you know. Where is my buddy? There. She is a hunter. So I'm not looking at all just the guys. I mean, she's a hunter. Yes. Huntress. Huntress. I like it. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil walks around like a roaring lion. Revelations 5:5 says, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, opens up the scrolls. And I can go on and on. That's the lion. But like a lion is the pretender. He's a pretender. He's going to walk around like the lion, but he's not the lion. He's a pretender. And he's going to walk around seeking who he may devour. The pretender is going to try and fake you out. Hey, look at me. I'm bad. You're in a bad situation. Look at me. Don't look at God. Look at me. Well, why did God do this to you? Who is God to you? You love God. Look what God did to you. You had this, you had that, and he ripped it all out of your hands. God didn't rip it out of your hands. Man might have, and you might even have walked away from it. It isn't always the devil, guys.
Right.
Sometimes it's us. And sometimes it's the devil in somebody or the flesh in somebody. Sometimes people are just mean.
Yeah.
Just mean. Then he says, resist him. Who? Resist the devil. Stay steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Excuse me, but if you guys have been watching TV at all or knowing anything that's going on in the world, the sufferings in some places in the world are far greater than you even think you have sufferings. I mean, it's awful. They're trying now to say, get the government, excuse me, to say that there are war crimes. I mean, really? You're beheading our brothers and sisters. You're raping the mommies. You're taking the kids away and selling them into slavery. And they're doing it to Christians. And they're saying, well, this might be an atrocity. This might be a war crime. This might be a hate crime. Excuse me? Yeah, I think so. And so there are sufferings experienced by others in the world, and we need to recognize that. But, here again, but may the God of all grace, unmerited favor, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Ah, the bottom line, folks, we may think this is it and this is our world is only our sufferings. Uh-uh. After you have suffered for a while, yeah, you know, we're going to. It isn't like you become, when I was a young person, I went to a church, and this is how they said, I was like about, I was one of these people that was literally born on a Wednesday. I was born on a Wednesday, and I was dedicated by my great-great uncle, aunt, who was the traveling evangelist, and my grandfather, who was the pastor's church, dedicated on Sunday. I have been in church my whole life. I really have. However, where was I going with that? I just all of a sudden went into another bunny trail. After you have suffered, blah, 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 where was I? After you have suffered a while, strengthen you. Anyway, let me go back to that. Okay, so his eternal, after you have suffered a while, perfect us, establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. To him be the glory forever. He is telling us that there's going to be times in our life that, yes, we're going to be suffering. Yes, we're going to have times in our life. Yes, but the key is he will perfect in us. He will establish us. He will strengthen us. And I like this part. He'll settle me. That may sound like just a kind of a crazy word. He's going to settle me. If you've ever been through something, you're not settled. You're rattled. There is nothing worse than being rattled. He will perfect us. He will establish us. He'll strengthen us, and he'll settle us. To him be the glory forever and ever. You know, at the top of this section of Scripture, it's entitled, Submit to God, Resist the Devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. It is so critical. If we want a heavenly inheritance, we must submit to God and resist the devil. Joseph, bless his heart, could have been self-destructive. He had a choice. He had a choice. He could have been self-destructive. He could have hated his brothers. I'm going to, or he could have been self-destructive. I have a good friend. Probably many of you have seen her books, Kay. Anyway, she tried to kill herself or considered killing herself because her husband killed himself, K. Arthur. And she had suicidal thoughts from a young person. Several times in her life, she considered suicide, and then her husband committed suicide. The enemy will put things in our mind like, why are you even here? Just get it over with. Just get it over with. God will forgive you later. You'll just go to heaven, get off the earth. And some of you don't even think about the heaven part, just want off the earth. God hates me. I don't care. I want off the earth. The enemy will get us to a point. And I'll tell you what, folks. Kate was a Christian doing ministry, and thoughts of suicide were in her heart. So don't look around and think, you know, hey, that's only for the people outside the church. The enemy goes around looking for who he can destroy. And I'm telling you, it can be somebody sitting right next to you in the pew next to you. The enemy is saying, you might as well just kick the bucket because what's the point anymore? What have I got to live for? What's the point? We must submit to God and resist the devil. We don't want to be self-destructive. The enemy is doing his best to destroy us. Don't help him. The enemy is doing his best to put his thumb on our head and push us down. And we have to literally just say, in the name of Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. I absolutely, positively will not listen to your voice. I will plug up my ears. Nah, 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 nah. I will not listen to you. I'm only going to listen to God. Well, when does the devil talk to you? Well, when are you getting these negative thoughts? God, why did he do that to you? He hates you. If you just slap them upside the head, they'll get better, you know, or quit that job. You know, they don't even deserve to have you. Hey, you need the money. The enemy is just pushing you and dragging you and kicking you and doing whatever. And the Lord says, submit to me. Resist him. Do not listen to him. Be self-controlled. Be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walking around like a roaring lion, a pretender, wants to destroy you. Resist him. Walk away from him, the devil. Be steadfast, knowing that your faith, yet there are other people going through that and worse. He, the Lord, wants to help you through your hard times. In Hebrews 12, I'll hurry through it. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we have the race of faith. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance this race, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for who the joy was set before him, for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, the joy heaven, endured the cross, despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, hear this again. He says, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those that have gone on before us. Okay, they've gone through it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. He's saying, guys, you're going to get over this. What's on you right now, you're going to get over it. You're going to be stronger. But I can tell you, because I've been around for a while, that's not your last weight. Yes, I made it through. I'm done with the troubles of life. All's well with my world. And you turn around and somebody whaps you upside the head. It was like, wait a minute, I just got out of one thing. You know, what is this? I mean, I did everything right. Why am I getting hit again? Because the enemy's not through with you. Because you made it victorious, and he's going to keep bugging you till he tries to get you and keep you. That's his goal. His goal is to rip you out of God's hands, if at all possible. He cannot. Only you can pry God's hands open and jump out.
Right.
Okay, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to self-destruct. You don't want to walk away from the Lord. You want to just hang on to God's hand and not allow the enemy any room in you. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance this race. What's the race? It's your life. Run your life with faith. That he says, looking, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There is an end, guys. There really is an end. We could walk out this door, get in our car, and we're done. I mean, a lot of us think it goes on and on and on. Let me tell you, there's going to be people that walk out of church today and it will be their last breath. I mean, it's a big world. And it's true. It's going to happen today to some people today. I'm not going to say it's happening to us, but hey, don't look at this is all I've got. No. Look unto Jesus, because for what Jesus endured, the cross and everything, was because he knew where he was going. And that's where he is today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding, meaning, Lord, help me. Here's Sandy's prayer, Father. I'm interceding for Sandy today. Sandy's got this problem. Sandy's hurting. Sandy is dying inside. God, Father, help me. Help her. He is interceding for us. He finished well. You want to finish well. You want to finish well. And in Galatians, it says in verse 6:9, says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. What? If we don't lose heart. If we don't walk away from God. If we don't self-destruct. If we don't turn our back on him. Are you in a pit today? You know, I mean, it could be a pit where it's a health crisis. It could be a family crisis. It could be a financial crisis. It could be a job crisis. It could be, I mean, there's a lot of pits that are out there today. I mean, I could literally, honest to goodness, go around and let everybody share. And you either are in a pit or you have a loved one that's in a pit. I mean, pit is a real experience. It's real. And the Lord says, sometimes we're there because of our bad decisions. Sometimes we jump in the pit. Joseph didn't. But sometimes we jump in the pit. Bad decisions. Like, I want to jump back out now. This wasn't a fun experience. But if we're in one and God says, you know what? See my hand? My hand is in the pit. All you have to do is reach up and I will pull you out of that pit. But the key is reaching up to him, not doing this. Oh God, oh God, oh God, why'd you do this to me? Oh God, why did they do this to me? Oh God. God's saying, set it aside. Don't be double-minded. Put your cares up here so that it's all right here, not here and here. Put all your care here so that you're seeing me and the cares and trusting me with your cares. I'll take your hand. I'll pull you out of your pit. I will help you, and we will together destroy the situation. I'll walk with you through the situation. I will help you not just live through the situation, but thrive through the situation. You will be victorious through the situation. You will come out on top and the winner. Oh, I remember, I've said this before, one of the first times that I honestly and truthfully went through the situation and didn't look back. I honestly kept my eyes on him. And when it was all over with, I could say, I finally went through a pit thing and kept my eyes on him the whole dang time. And I was so proud of myself. I had to be careful not to let the pride get me. But it comes from experience. Now, I'm not going to lie. There have been times when I went through a situation about 12 years ago that I took my eyes off of God. It was a pit experience. It was about a year, and I was a mess. And was I still doing retreats? You bet. Still doing retreats, still teaching about God's promises and love, but I was hurting inside because I had taken my eye off the situation. I was double-minded. My cares were here and here instead of here. It happens, folks. If you're in that situation, you're born again, believing God, love God, Spirit living inside of your heart, it can happen to you. And just say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. God, I'm in this pit, and I'm like this. And God's saying, stop. Reach up. I'm here. Take my hand. I'll pull you out of this pit. You don't need to live in the pit. You can live on my lap. In my lap while I hold you through this situation. The care is in one hand, you are in another. We will make it through. We will make it through. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. So much, Father God, for your word. For your love for us. Who sent Joseph to the pit? Father, you did. But God, you had a plan. Father God, sometimes we walk into the pit. Sometimes someone pushes us into the pit. Whatever it is, Father God, you're saying we don't need to live in that pit. We don't need to make that pit our home. We don't have to literally make that our abode. Our abode is literally right beside you, Father God. And so, Lord, we just say we're sorry if we're there, and we want to look up and say, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I'm in this pit, and I'm not going to stay here. Lord, my hand is up. Grab me. Take me. Release me from this, God. Pull me out of this pit. Help me, Father God. And right now, the Lord is saying, if you'll do that, I will honor. He will honor his word, and he will, in fact, in the name of Jesus, he will, in fact, pull you out. Yes, this is right from the heart of God. He will pull you out right now and literally put you in his lap, wrap his arms around you, and you will walk in the peace of God because you trust in him. Yes, this is for somebody in this room right now. Somebody may be listening to this. Grab a hold of his hand. He will pull you out of that pit right now. He will wrap his arms around you, and then you will walk in the peace and in the glory of your Heavenly Father, of your Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your love for us. We're your kids. You're our Abba Father. God, we love you with all our hearts, but you love us even more. Thank you for the word today, Lord. Let us run the race, this endurance that we're here on this earth. Lord, let us run it with pride of being your kid, that we know that we're doing what we're supposed to do. And Lord, you will continue to hold us up and keep us and love on us and keep us from harm. Thank you, Father. We pray for the rest of this day and this week, Father God. We pray for our nation. We're kind of in our own little pit here. Lord God, we pray that you will give us grace and mercy, Father God. Unmerited favor, I'll agree. But you do give grace. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.